What's up there, good peoples? Cameron Norfleet, Century 21, All Points Realty. And want to thank you for taking the time out of your day to hear what I've got to say. Today, we've got a great one for you, as I usually do. Say it like I'm got a bunch of people on this podcast with me. But anyway, I've got some local small business owners. And we're going to be talking about how to survive this COVID-19 pandemic crisis as a small business owner. All right. But before we really get into that, if you haven't done so already, please be sure to subscribe to the podcast as well as leave a rating and or a review. Leaving a rating and review certainly helps the platform that you're listening to this podcast on, helps them to realize that there is quality content going forth on this podcast. And they in turn will send me a little bit more, a few more listeners. And I can definitely appreciate that. So if you just take a few minutes, leave a rating and review, at least a rating, just hit the star. You don't have to leave a review if you really are pressed for time. I understand, pressed for time myself. But anyway, also subscribe to the podcast. That way you'll be notified whenever I put out a new episode, which takes place every single Wednesday. Also, if you're not following me on my social media channels, you're missing out, especially if you are in the market to purchase a property, whether you're looking to buy a home or you're looking to invest in real estate. You're definitely missing out if you are not following me on all of these platforms: Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, so on and so forth. All right, you definitely want to be following me on there. Facebook, just look me up, Cameron Norfleet, the Investor's Realtor. Instagram, just Cameron Norfleet. YouTube, just Cameron Norfleet. All right, I put out decent amount of content that will certainly help you out, especially like I said, if you are looking to either purchase a home or get into real estate investing. So again, today's podcast episode is I have some small business owners in the hair care industry. All right, so I have a local barber as well as a local hair salon owner. So I have Luvina Jones from the Curly Hair Salon as well as Omar Sangster from the Sangster Barber Salon. Luvina is located right there in New Haven, and Omar is in Hamden, right there on Dixwell Avenue. I'm sure that you guys have seen my little podcast logo. If you zoom in a little bit and look at the sharpness right there of my edge up, well, that's Omar's work right there. Omar, he's the man. I've been following Luvina on Instagram for a while. I see her work. She's excellent at what she does. I definitely recommend that if you want to have those curls popping, you definitely want to check her out. Her contact information is mentioned on this episode. It's also in the show notes right here on the podcast. So today we are discussing how small business owners such as these have been affected by the COVID-19 pandemic, as well as what these two great businesses are doing to stay alive, to stay afloat, to not only survive, but to thrive in today's market. There are many people that unfortunately can't work from home, and that's why I wanted to bring on some people that I know that I could see are doing it despite what's going on in the market. This episode will definitely be beneficial to, barbers, hairstylists, makeup artists, tattoo artists, personal trainers, massage therapists, home cleaners, bed and breakfast owners, event planners, pretty much anybody who, like I said, owns a small business. And maybe you need a few tips on, what you can do even in this market. And like I said, not everybody can work from home. So if you have a small business, one of those that I mentioned, or if you know someone, make sure that you share this with those people. Like I said, any business that I just named, or, consignment shop owners, caterers, gym owners, daycare owners, coffee shop owners, all these people own businesses that likely currently are not working, but there are some things that you could be doing. But I'm not going to prolong this. We're going to get right into the episode. So without further ado, let's get into the interview. Omar, Luvina, how are you today?
I'm well. How about you?
I'm doing well. I definitely want to thank you guys for joining the podcast. I think that you guys have some great businesses. Your online presence is pretty good, and I think that I wanted to do this podcast. I want to do this podcast episode for small business owners. All right, small business owners that are struggling right now, that, you know, in the middle of everything that's going on with COVID-19 and all that, you know, a lot of businesses have been severely affected, you know, specifically, you know, in you guys' industry. You guys are in the hair care industry, you know, so you guys are hands on. You can't work from home. You know what I mean? Or I guess you can, but, you know, that kind of adds to the problem, you know. So I was just I wanted to have you guys on to you know, kind of get you guys' opinion on what could be done, on what you're doing to keep your business alive and to stay in contact with your clients and so on and so forth. So before I really get into that, let me just let's just hear about you guys, who you are, where you're from, how you got into the business, and so on and so forth. Whoever wants to jump in first, and then after the next one, so on and so forth. Ladies first. How about that? Ladies first.
All right. So my name is Lorena. I started my business about 8 years ago. I've always been into hair. I've always been really good at hair. I just didn't realize that I could make a living off of doing hair, so I didn't go into it until I was about 26 years old. I opened my salon after working for somebody for 3 years. I love doing hair. I love the socialization actually more than I even love doing hair. I just really like being around people. So this being away from everybody is a little difficult for me right now. So that's how I got into it. I have I currently have a salon. I live in New Haven and have a salon in New Haven. Yeah. I actually have two, but I'm closing my second one, which is in Brantford, and I'm downsizing back to my one salon because I've realized after this year that I only want one salon.
Gotcha. And what's the name of your salon again?
It's the Curly Hair Salon by Lavina Leslie.
Curly Hair Salon. Love it. Love it. Love it. Awesome. Omar, how about you?
My name is Omar Sangster. I'm the owner of Sangster Barber Salon in Hamden. Mm-hmm. I'm in business for 4 years. I've been cutting hair for 25 years.
Right.
So I moved to the US 8 years ago, and I worked with someone for 2 years, and I decided I want to go in business for myself. Nice. And nice. Help others. So
right.
I got started 2016.
Nice. Cool. Now, one thing that I noticed about both of your businesses is that you kind of have a niche, all right? And I really like that. Omar, I mean, when I first found you, and just for everybody, for anybody who I don't know how many people have asked me with my profile picture, who cut your hair in that profile picture? Because they say the edge up is, you know, just on point and so on and so forth. 100%. That was Omar, you know. That's great. But you guys have a niche, Omar. Your niche is kind of, I've never seen a barbershop like yours before. You know, you cut hair in a shirt and tie. Never seen that before. You know, to walk in the room and hear the nice smooth mellow jazz, you know, and not, you know, homeboy that's cussing at this guy and so on and so forth. You know, it really is a breath of fresh air. That's kind of your niche. Lavina, with your salon, you kind of have a niche as well, the Curly Hair Salon. So you know, with that, you know, is that something that you recommend for other business owners, whether it be, you know, in hair care or otherwise, to kind of niche down and be known for something in particular? How do you feel about that?
So I think it just depends. I have curly hair, and it truly must have been God's plan for me to be doing curly hair. How I got to this place isn't in his invisible hand, truly.
Right.
So I didn't start out only doing curly hair. I did want to do only curly hair when I started, but I couldn't, because when you are a niche salon like I am, where we don't take straight hair clients at all. So if you have straight hair, we won't take you. And so in the beginning, when I first started my business, I had to take everybody. So if you wanted your hair blow dried, you wanted whatever you wanted, I would do for you, because I had to pay my bills. And so over the years, after about a year and a half, I stopped doing straight hair. I wouldn't take straight hair clients at all. And then I've had a few setbacks over the year, but now that I have a full staff, I don't do color anymore. I only do haircuts. So I only do curly haircuts. I have a team and they do other stuff, but we still only do curly hair. It's gotcha. Difficult, but once you become known for what you do, yep. then you can do it. And I listen to a lot of podcasts and a lot of motivational speakers. And one thing they've always said is there's riches in niches. And there are, because then you become known for what you do. But it takes time, like anything. You have to really be passionate about that particular thing. And then it'll come to you.
For sure. Omar, how do you feel?
Yes, that's true. I believe everybody in business should have a niche and know what's their target market and go for it.
Right. Yeah. Cool. So, with everything that's going on in the, in the market today, coronavirus and so on and so forth, how has coronavirus affected your business and how have you guys combated the effects of that?
Well, we have no business right now.
It's for sure. Right.
But, I technically still have both of my salons, so I still have to pay overhead on both of them. My landlords at both of my locations have been really, they've just been so kind during this time. They reached out to me and they said, you know, whenever you get it, you get it. Whatever you need, I'll help you with. So they've been really great to me. But I've also, I do sell products. So, and I deliver it or I mail it. And that's how I make some money.
On your Instagram.
I still have automatic withdrawals coming out of my account, like my Salon Iris software, my gas bill, my UI bill, my salon insurance, all those things come out automatically. So I've got to have some money in those accounts so that it can come out. So I've been selling products. I've been, you know, if they're local, if they're within 20 minutes, I'll drop off their products. If they're not, I will mail it in the post office.
Awesome.
And so that's how we're making some money, just to keep my salon from going into the negative.
Right. And you're also staying engaged with your clients by offering that, you know, drop off service and so on and so forth. So that's awesome right there. Omar, I even saw that with you. I don't know if this is something that you just started or if this is something that you've been doing for a while, but I saw that you have the Facebook group and all that. And, you know, you're kind of staying engaged and staying connected with your clients and customers that way. Is that pretty much what you're doing? Are you doing anything else outside of that?
Yes, I do the Facebook private group and also communicate by email to my clients. Mm-hmm. Keep them updated because they're looking out to hear something. So I try to figure out where I can reach them and try to reach everybody at the same time.
Right. That's awesome. So how would you say that your business, I guess that we kind of touched on a little bit, but how would you say that your business is different than most other, whether it be beauty salons or barbershops and so on and so forth? Could you just go into that a little bit?
Yeah. So my salon is different because our model is a little different. I have employees as opposed to independent contractors. So because, and that's for a reason, I have never had independent contractors in my salon. And it is because I saw the way a lot of times it's difficult to create a culture when people are their own bosses.
Right.
So the way that my salon is different is I create a culture. I have a culture at my salon. We treat our clients a certain way. There's only a certain kind of music played. Now, granted, it's not a type of music, but, you know, I don't allow swearing in the salon. Gotcha. I don't allow swearing in the music. I don't allow swearing, you know, and I'm not saying they've never sworn. I don't know, but it's not something that I allow.
Right.
And really, if you ever read any reviews about my salon, they will say how nice my staff is. My team, we pride ourselves on making sure that we treat our clients like they are important, because they are important, because that's the way that our business runs. And when you walk in the door, we make sure that you feel like you're important. Like and that is on purpose. When we have our staff meeting every Thursday, I often talk about this is how we treat our clients. And not even because we care. I never say, oh, well, if we don't treat them well, they're going to leave and go somewhere else.
Right.
I just say we treat them well because they deserve to be treated well because they're coming here to spend their money. And so that's the difference. And I often tell them that it's not even about their hair service. I can teach people to cut hair. I can teach people to color hair, but I can't teach you to be kind. I can't teach you to care. And so that is the probably one of the biggest differences that you'll see in my salon compared to other salons, which I don't necessarily go in, but I know that our people are nice people. And that's really the most important thing in our salon is that people are nice.
Cool. Omar?
For me, is consistency, and deliver professional service. Most of my client is mature men. So create that culture where people can have good conversation and
Yeah, and like I said, that's something that I certainly, you know, admire and respect about your barbershop. I remember one time I was getting a haircut in Waterbury when I was living in Waterbury, and a fight broke out right in front of me as I'm getting my haircut. You know, and it's, you know, it's not uncommon to have, you know, there's a lot of craziness that goes on in barbershops. You know, there was another time but somebody got shot outside the barbershop. It's just, you know, it's just crazy, you know. So like I said, it's refreshing going into your place of business. It's a place of business. And, you know, unfortunately, with us folk, you know, that's not always the case, you know, but I can certainly appreciate that. So if someone wanted to get in contact with either of you, whether they wanted to make an appointment or whatever the case may be, how would they go about doing that?
I'm easy to contact. You can find me anyway. I'm Google, Instagram, Facebook, phone, text. Do you want me to give my information?
Yeah, absolutely. Sure.
Yes. Oh, yeah. So on Facebook, we're Lavina Leslie Salon, which I'm switching that over. But right now it's Lavina Leslie Salon. On Instagram, I'm at CT Curly Hair Salon. On Google, my website is lavinalesliesalon.com. The salon phone number is 203-745-4834, which you can call or text. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's it. It's easy to find me.
Cool. Omar?
So for me, you can find me on my website, www.sangstabarberpro.com or sangstabarbersalon and Instagram and Facebook.
Awesome. Let me ask you guys this. You guys are both entrepreneurs, but before we actually end this, what, in your opinion, separates successful entrepreneurs, whether they be in the hair care business or any other small business? What, in your opinion, separates successful entrepreneurs from those that give up, fail, or never quite get started?
What separates us from those who don't make it is that we don't stop. We don't quit, because I don't even think quitting is easy, to be completely honest with you, because anytime I've considered quitting, well, the alternative sucks.
Right.
But I think that's the difference. The difference is that you don't quit. I've done some network marketing in the past, a few different companies. I'm not doing it right now, or I'm not in it to promote it or anything like that. But I remember learning that you don't fail in network marketing. You quit. And I think that's the same way that it is with anything in life, is that once you quit, that's it. You quit. But for me, I've had quite a roller coaster in this business life of mine, from moving locations to, you know, renting a room to opening a second salon, closing a second salon. And the one thing that has remained is that I don't quit. I continue. I'm not going anywhere.
Right.
And that is the difference, is that you just have to choose not to quit. And however you have to make your dream work, whatever that looks like, whether you have to change some things around or reroute your vision, you've got to just keep on working at it until you get to where you want to be. But you can only do that by not quitting. And so that's the way you do it. You don't quit. You don't quit.
Right. For sure. Awesome. Omar?
You really have to have a why and a purpose. And you have to your why have to be big.
Right, for sure.
With business, there's a lot of challenge, and you have to get over those obstacles and press on.
Mm. Absolutely. If somebody was thinking about getting into hair care, whether that be barbershop, beauty salon, a mixture of both, all right, what type of advice would you give to someone in those shoes? Maybe they want to start outside of New Haven, Hamden area. What type of advice would you give?
Oh, they can start next door.
Nice.
I'd say, you know, a lot of people do it. It seems like an easy field to get into because it's relatively inexpensive once you have your license, but it's got to be something that you really want to do, that you don't do for the money. Now, granted, it is a lucrative career, no doubt, but I would say that if it is truly your passion, if you love to do it, if it is just something that excites your soul, then I would say just keep moving in the direction of opening. Just, you know, start taking those steps, working out your financing, working out your location, just move towards it if that's really your passion.
Right. Cool. No more.
For someone want to get in the hair business, I would say you have to really have a passion for it.
Mm.
You have to ready to serve the people, because it's all about, this is a people business.
Right. For sure.
You have to willing to serve and give up some of yourself.
Nice. Awesome. Well, again, I definitely appreciate you guys for taking the time to record this podcast, speak to my followers and community. So for anybody else out there, once again, we already gave everybody's contact information. If you, I thought I put this thing on mute, but obviously I didn't. if anyone wants to reach out to you guys, I'll put the everybody's information in the show notes, or you can reach out to me, or you just rewind the podcast and listen to their contact information.
And I've got one more thing.
Sure, absolutely.
I forgot to tell you that I have a monthly newsletter. So every month, awesome, I have a newsletter that goes out that updates everybody on what's going on. And if you go to my website, you can sign up for my monthly newsletter, and you'll be in the know on all the things that are going on. Although right now, nobody knows what's going on, but
right.
I give you the information that I have once a month.
Right. Awesome. All right. So thank you guys for your time. As for everyone else, thank you for your time, and make it a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you.